November. That's quick. It's that time of year again where we race towards December and family and holidays. It's all really good, but I feel like the Lord has reminded me every year we celebrate this. And why it's so important is, we need a Savior still. We need a Savior still, like those days when Jesus was born. They were looking for a Savior. I mean, they needed a Savior, but spiritually and physically. And they thought they were going to find a physical Savior, someone who would take down the Roman Empire or at least get them out of their land so that there could be a nation of Israel again. And there would be a king like King David. And so now we find ourselves in November longing, especially in election year, longing that Jesus would take over our government, right? And maybe, but I'm not so sure that's how, he didn't work that way then. So what makes me think he's going to work that way now? But the fact remains, we need a Savior in our lives. And so how do we appropriately celebrate that? A couple things I'm waiting now to tell you is part of the problem with having this wall here is this space is too small for the Christmas party that we've hosted. We almost outlapsed last year, and there's more people this year because if you look around, to be honest with you, most of us come twice a month, and so if everyone was here at one time, we would be sitting laps. And so Christmas party, that happened. So we had more than 200 people here and not enough room. So what do we do this year on Wednesday, December 7th? We're going to have a night of worship and desserts. There you go, right? So we're going to do that. So mark your calendars Wednesday. That'll be at 6 o'clock. We'll get information, but just so you know, it won't be the typical Christmas party this year. We'll keep praying that wall will be down. We'll really do it upright next year. This year, it might be even more appropriate that we have a night of worship. And then Sunday is Christmas Day. And from a lot of those folks in ministry service inside the church, most of them said, what if we did Christmas Eve instead of Christmas morning? And so that's what we're going to do too. You'll get more information, but just kind of mark your calendar. Christmas Eve, 4:30 to 6. We're going to have, the kids are going to sing some songs. We're going to talk about, that'll be real kind of Christmas focused about the Lord and his birth. And we'll do that from 4:30 to 6. And then you can go into the dinners and the fellowship and celebrate and your family. So those are kind of December, if you will. And there's this craft night. Okay. Any questions, call the office, ask me. And we can talk about that. So today we're going to continue on. If you haven't been here with us on a regular basis, we are going through the book of Matthew. And we've been in the book of Matthew for more than all of 2016. And we're going to keep going because, as you see, we've made it to chapter 14, verse 22. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, I long for this to be more than a tradition, for this to be more than going through the motions, but that your word would teach us through your Holy Spirit, that you would come save us, God, as we face these storms like Peter did, and as we step out in insurmountable circumstances, longing for you to throw power at us, that we would know you are power. And power that lives in us is you. And the power that resurrected you from the dead lives in us. And so in any moment, the pause, the calling out to you, God, that your power would save us, that would transform us, that would heal us, that would help us endure all the storms of our life, God. And so we just come to you that we would not only read, but read and have spiritual eyes to see. And that we would read and have spiritual ears to hear, and that we would read and we would have an open heart to receive what is that you have from us through your word today, through your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for our many blessings, God, and just and confess you as Lord today. confess you as boss. So teach us and direct us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, I've given you these. If you are taking notes or you're writing your Bible, if it doesn't have it already, here's some kind of cross-references. This story that we're going to get into, Jesus walking on water, Peter walking on water, you'll find that not only Matthew 14, but Mark 6, John 6, okay? So it's Mark 6, 45 through 52, and John 6, 16 through 21, so you can read the different accounts. Today, we're going to go through Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Okay, what just happened? If you read before this, it's a story we commonly refer to as feeding the 5,000. Lots of people getting late, really hungry, very little amount of food, to the point where even the followers of Jesus who've seen him do miraculous things and believe he's the Son of God think he's kidding, that these loaves of bread and these fish are going to feed all those people. Not only do they feed all the people, there's 12 baskets left over, and they're all full. What? And then here it says, immediately, right? Like, okay, you're full. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like, get into the boat, go across the other side. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So they didn't even wait for people to leave. So then what did he do? He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water," he said. "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I mean, amazing, amazing story, right? Walking on water. So many questions. I think God's changing the way I read the word, not questioning him, but questioning the story, the why. And I think about that. And it's so, you guys heard this story before? Yeah. I've heard this story too. Well, hey Johnny, would you come on up here, buddy? So, this is Johnny. He's going to help me. Come on up here, bud. I was thinking about this, and to be honest, would you stand up here for me? There we go. Yeah, stand up there. So I was thinking about this as I was reading, and normally, I don't know about you, but when I think of this scripture, I think of a couple things. Wow, either on one end, there's this Peter guy, right? And we see him in the scriptures, and he's bold, and a lot of times, you know, he puts his foot in his mouth. But in the end, Jesus says, "Peter, you are the rock, right, that I'll build my church on." Like, you have a strong amount of faith to the point where even though at Jesus' resurrection he denied him three times, he did eventually die for him. And so we kind of think about that, and we focus so much on the walking on water. So then I think, well, hey, well, stand here, grab my hand, stand up here. So I thought about walking on water, and I thought we had water here, and I thought about, okay, what if God would let Johnny walk on water if we had enough faith, right? Because this is what we talk about. Like, if I had more faith, I could walk on water. What do you think? No? Okay. Here, put that foot down just a little. Maybe if you guys would pray. No. Thanks, bud. I'll let you get down here. I won't really make you walk on water, but thanks, Johnny. So that's funny, but you know what? What God is sharing with me, what he's teaching me is like we don't even realize, but we put ourselves at the center of everything. Right? The selfishness is so ingrained in us, we put in the center ourselves in the center of everything. Even when we beat ourselves up, because we look at this and we say, Peter, you didn't have enough faith because you sunk. Right? You sunk. And then on the other hand, we try to get positive. Peter walked on water. Right? Who else walked on water? Jesus and Peter. That's good company to be in, right? So then we make it about Peter. And I thought, Lord, you know, what do I share today? Why this? Why now? And I thought, you know, I don't think it's even about Peter. Because here's what God's, what are we about? What are we doing here? Like, Jesus is the center. Not me. Jesus is the center. What if it's not even about Peter? It's about Jesus. Because if Johnny walked on water, if God bestowed this power on him for a moment and he walked on water, you guys would probably believe or not come back, right? Okay? And then you tell your friends and it'd be a circus here and they'd say, when's Johnny going to walk on water again? We want to see this. It would be about Johnny, not about God. Could God make him walk on water? I believe he could. But why do that? So here's what happened. You know, I'm kind of wondering, okay, they fed the 5,000. It's getting late. Jesus, can I just ask the first question? What did these guys think Jesus was going to do to meet them on the other side? Hey, you guys get in the boat. I'll meet up with you on the other side. I mean, did they think he was going to get another boat later? Did they think he was going to walk all the way around? Were they going to have to come back and get him? I mean, what was the plan? Why didn't someone say, no, I'll stay behind with you, Jesus? None of the accounts say that. They got in the boat and took off. And then Jesus went up on a mountain and he prayed. Because if you look back, he was getting ready to do that before he had to feed the 5,000. Right? He was going to do that, get alone. The people followed him. So he got off the boat, taught them till it was dinner time, fed all of them, and now it's like, okay, now I need this time to be alone with the Father. Not because it's about him, but because it's about God, who's the center. Well, so let me recap the story. First of all, not in the Matthew account, but it tells us that the disciples, they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So they were still fresh. I mean, look at the pattern. If you look at it, Jesus would teach. He would teach the big group, and then when they were done, those who followed him, who had questions, came near, and Jesus said, here's what I meant by that, and he taught them. Well, this didn't happen. He did this miraculous thing, and they're like, what just happened? Get in the boat, go. But don't get in the boat and go. And what did they do in the middle of the night on this boat, and then the storm came? What are they thinking? It tells us right now, they didn't understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't quite understand what was going on. You see, they believed probably something. There were probably ideas, lies bouncing around their heads because they weren't sure about what was going on. And then it said this, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got in the boat. So we know it was evening, okay? Night. The night was coming. It wasn't the middle of the night. So there's a fact, okay? Another fact. Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Up on the mountain, here's the sea. Then the sea became rough. Why? Because a strong wind was blowing. Will, why are you boring us with these details? I want you to see what's happening here. The sea became rough. Jesus is on the mountain. And then, in the fourth watch of the night, now, I don't talk that way, but according to what I understand, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So these guys got in the boat after that full day, like when the sun was going down, and now it is 3 or 6 a.m. in the morning, and they've been battling the storm all that time. And what did Jesus do? It tells us that he saw that they were making headway painfully. He's like, oh, look, they're having a hard time. Okay, starts walking down the mountain, right? Walking down the mountain, walking across whatever beach would be there, steps out on the water. What is Jesus thinking, you know? Walks on the water, and it says that they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. So Jesus takes another little 4-mile walk on the water to these guys in the middle of a storm that he can see from the mountain. Then he came to them walking on the sea. But check this out. This is crazy. He meant to pass them by, the Bible says. He was going to pass them by. Like, see you guys. Yeah. Like, I'll see you on the other side. Maybe dinner tomorrow at this rate, because you know, took how many hours to get 3 miles, maybe 4, and now we're going across. He meant to pass them by, but they saw him. And they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost, right? Mist, wind, storms, dark. His flowing blonde hair, right, and blue eyes, white robe, not wet. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. And then Jesus says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. What's that mean? It means become confident or courageous during a difficult situation. Be confident. Be courageous. Not like, suck it up, buttercup. This is not hard. No, it's hard, but be confident. Take heart. It's going to be okay. Not easy, but okay. Because it's me, Jesus. There's a guy named Joshua, and you remember Moses, go through the wilderness, 40 years. God's like, you can't go into the promised land. Moses dies, they instill a new leader, Joshua. And when they were instilling him, this is what God tells him. I command you, be strong. This is Joshua 1:9, and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, you're hijacking that, Will, making it about you. Well, I'm one of his. The Lord will never leave me or forsake me. He'll always be with me. And Romans 8:28 says, when I live according to his purpose and I'm called that way, that all the things, hard, difficult, easy, happy, sad, good, bad, all those things, he works out for what? Good. For those called according to his purpose, walking out in obedience. So I'll take that. I'll take that. You should take that if you're his. I am, if you're walking in his purpose. If not, walk in his purpose. I am with you wherever you will go. Wow. So then they felt better. Yeah, no big deal. No. They're still worried, right? And then this crazy thing happens. And then Peter, right? Then we go back to that. Verse 28, Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, right? Walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Well, so what's going on with that, Lord? I mean, I said, I don't feel like focusing on Peter necessarily is what we should do today, but understand this. These guys that were with him and the women who would follow them, they would see Jesus do miraculous things, and they saw him miraculously break those loaves of bread so that hungry people would be fed. They understood that Jesus had power. Do you understand that Jesus has power? I think we could do the church answer yes, right? And I don't think you'd be lying. I really don't think you'd be lying. Jesus has power. But they didn't understand he was power. What's that mean? Is that like the vortex? No, we're not. No, what it means, here's how it's different. They understood Jesus was from God, but I don't think they understood that Jesus was God. And this is what I'm saying, power and proximity. What do you mean, Will? Power and proximity. Here's what God's telling me about. He says, please understand something, okay? The sun, if you go towards it in your form, it doesn't have to shoot a ray to destroy you. It is so powerful, you will disintegrate when you get close enough, right? It's power from it. And here's what we began to do, and here's what Peter was seeing too, and here's what I see in my life, is that God, Lord Jesus, you have power. And like some kind of wizard, right, you could just shoot the power at me. God, come to my situation, come to my storm, shoot your power. From a distance, make things different, fix things, heal things, correct things, make miraculous things happen because you have power. I don't know if that's me. I'm not in your life, it's me. I mean, whatever it is that you're coming up against, Jesus, couldn't you just fix it? Couldn't you heal it? I'll even come to church. Maybe if the pastor prays, or if I sing, or if I'm faithful, God's power will come out and come save me. But what they didn't understand is he is power. The proximity is more important. Jesus was there. The power is him. And when they abide in him, and when Peter walked out and he said, come, and Jesus said, come, and he stepped out and he focused on Jesus, the scripture tells us he was able to walk on water. Why? Because Jesus is power. He abided in him. He focused in him. He was looking on him, and then powerful things were able to happen in his life. But when he looked away, when he saw insurmountable circumstances, he began to sink. And then when the circumstance changed, he cried out to Jesus. Why? Because he thought Jesus was zapping him and that he could magically walk on water and come to Jesus. The power is in abiding. The power is in proximity. Well, Will, you're losing me. Okay, think about this. I was reading a Bible study this week, and some of you people in the church have done this study, and they were talking about the clay and the potter. And I thought it was really cool because I'd never thought of it this way. And I get it. In the hands of God, he can make us something miraculous and wonderful. So let's say God is making me a cup out of clay. Our false idea of this is, make me a cup, God, and then leave me alone. What does a cup do when no one's holding it? A pencil holder? I don't know. Right? Only in the hands of the potter or someone could that cup fulfill its purpose. Could you put liquid in there and could you drink out of it? You need the hand of the potter. Don't you get it? Like, he needed the presence of Jesus, not like power zapped on from high to him, but the presence of God, the power of God in him, and in that he could walk on water. It's about God, not about our faith, not for me to beat you up. You need to have some more faith in your life and everything will get better. That's if you were the center of the universe. Maybe what God needs is it not to get better for a while. Maybe Jesus could have came like 11:45 to save those disciples from that storm. No, he waited till like 4 a.m. They were like all through the night. They had to be exhausted, fighting this wind, freaking out, and Jesus is like, 5 o'clock in the morning. I guess we're good now. We'll go down. A little 4-mile walk on the water, and then he thinks, I might walk by him. Then they freak out, and he's like, okay, guys, it's me. And then Peter's like, can I come walk to you? Just come. Okay, come on. He's doing it. He's sinking. Okay, Lord, save me. Grabs him, pulls him in the boat, storm stops, and they look, and they're at the shore. Were they just so distracted They didn't know they were getting that close, or did Jesus do something? I don't know, and it doesn't matter because he could do that. So this is a question I think we need to ask. Storms. What? The Bible uses these storms. It's more than just an interesting story. It's more than just God showing his power. It's our lives. If we took a vote, I would adventure out to say a lot of you are facing what you could call a storm. You know, whether it's crisis level or nuisance level, but it's something. It's eating at you. Maybe it's even worse. Maybe it's enslaving you, really. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's control. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a relationship. And you want God from on high to just zap you and make it go away, right? Could you just send it? Could Jesus do that? I'm saying this, and I'm not saying he can't. He can do that. Did he do that? Yeah, he did those things. But being a Christ follower, being adopted into his family, right? Being adopted into the family is much different than Compassion International, where you send the money there, right? You bring the kid into your house, it's a different situation. Are they both good and important? Sure, but very different situations. And we just want to be the compassion child of Jesus. Could you send everything I need, please? And what Jesus wants to do is adopt us into his family. And that's why the scripture tells us when Jesus was leaving, after he was resurrected and he was going back up to heaven, of course, these disciples, they were nervous because Jesus was leaving. And the source of all power, from what they understood, and his ability to do power, and their willingness to hide under the umbrella of his power, was going away. And Jesus told them what? He's like, man, I've got to go, okay? But it's better that I go, because if I stay, it would be worse for you. And the reason why, and he doesn't say it this way, but this is what we've come to understand, is that you will be given the Holy Spirit. And you saw me raised from the dead? That same power that raised me from the dead will live in you. You won't have to come to my house to be in the power, in the presence of power. You won't have to come to the church. This building will not put you in the proximity of power, other than the fact that people who have the power of God in them come here. And when you leave, it's just cold, right? And then when you come in, then the warmth comes in. Then the love comes in. Then the Lord comes in with it. When we all leave this place and lock up, I don't say, Jesus, see you tomorrow. He goes with me. Thank God he went back to heaven. Thank God he went back to heaven. So there's these storms that are happening, and I can only imagine. So the scripture tells us that these disciples weren't even quite at peace about what had happened with the feeding of the 5,000, what they saw. They didn't quite understand. There wasn't resolution. And then they get on this boat, and then the storms start. And Jesus didn't come along. Where was Jesus? Well, he went on the mountain to pray. He went on the mountain to pray by himself. Hebrews 4:14 says, we have a great high priest who has gone into heaven, and he is Jesus, the Son of God. This is why we must hold on to what we've said about him. Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. So whenever we are in need, underline that, whenever we're in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God, and there we will be treated with undeserved kindness. Oh man, that's the only kind I can get. And we will find help. You see, Jesus saw that they were making headway painfully. And when that happened, what did he do? He walked on water to get to them. He walked on water to get to them. Why? Because they were his. If you're a parent, what would you do for your kids? Anything. Anything. Isaiah 43, but now the Lord who created you, O Israel, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name that you are mine. And when you go through the deep waters and the great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, I will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up and the flames will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God. He is power. He is power. He knocks down walls and changes hearts and heals sickness. It removes affliction and restores relationships. He walked, on water to save them. Wow. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on water, he said. Come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. But see, here's the problem. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. See, I could just preach these sermons and be done with it, right, and check it off, but man, it doesn't work. Like, it matters what you're going through. And you are not, you can't just say yes, 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 yes all the time. It's not always yes because we don't have it figured out. And it is a struggle. And sometimes you will face something that seems insurmountable. You will look at this and then the only thing you can do is, Lord, save me. The only thing you can mutter with the last strength that you have is, Lord, save me. And Jesus will in the right time, in the right moment. Could he have saved them from 6:30 p.m. to 4 a.m.? Yeah. Is he now saving them, you know, after that much time, he's walked 4 miles. Storms, trials, struggles. You're going to look out and it's just going to seem impossible. You know, you have a relationship that's been fractured and you're like, man, I cannot. How does that get better? You have a substance or an addiction that's controlling your life and you can't break through. How could that get better? My health, they say there's not a medicine or a surgery for it, or control. I just can't do that because the circumstances around me, unless other people change, then I can't give up control or fear. There's so many things to be afraid of, Will. I can't set those down. Impossible. It's like waves, right? And you get these moments, Lord, deliver me from that. Come. And you go, but then you see the waves and you can't help but notice them and you begin to sink. And the only way out is nothing short of walking on water. It's going to take, you're going to have to walk on water to fix this. You're going to have to walk on water to stop this. You'd have to have the power of God. Romans 8 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Situations can be different. Your situation, my situation, your situation. But there's things to overcome. There's things that are on your mind and your heart, and they're dragging you down. And, oh, man, I know it can seem impossible. I could give you a list in my life of these things that I pray about and I want to stop and I want them to change and I want them to go away. And they're painful and they're harmful. And I could also give you a list of things that I want to do, right? Like this wall. I know a lot of practical things I could do to try to make this happen, right? There's a lot of practical things. that I could do. But God is the center, not me. It's not that I'm so awesome and he's given me all these abilities. So that's why he has me here and poof, give me the magic, God. So when I go do my agenda, it's blessed and anointed and ordained. And so whatever I do is blessed. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you to do it, God, and say, come and I will walk on the water with you. But every day I'm going to have to get my eyes on you every moment throughout the day. I'm going to have to get close to you. I'm going to have to get proximity because I need your power. Not that you would send it to me, that you would make put it in me, that I have your Holy Spirit. So at any time when I get a call like that, I don't run to what the Bible would call the flesh, right? But instead I pause. I look for you, Jesus. And I see you and I say, you tell me when and what to do. And when he says step, step. When he says step again, step again. But Will, you don't understand. Jesus will walk on water if that's what it takes. Jesus would raise people from the dead if that's what it takes. Jesus would make a few loaves of bread and fish feed 15, 20,000 peoples with 12 baskets left over. He will heal sick. He will give up everything. He would give up his right to life and peace and joy, and he'd put himself in torture's way and death's way to be ridiculed, to be mocked, to be spit on, to be stripped naked, to be hung on a cross, to be killed for you, for me. Like, that is awesome, but amazing. And so here's what I want to do. Hey, guys, would you come on back up? We're gonna play some music. We're going to take communion together. Okay, I want to pray because the whole point of this, clearly, it's not manipulation, it's not a trick. What I want to do is we're going to pray, and then we're going to play music, we're going to pass out these elements, and we're going to take communion together. And what I want to focus on, like Jesus said, is do this in remembrance of me. And so I'm going to pray about this, but we come together. Why do we do this? Because we're united, because we're one, because we're the family of God, and because in our lives, we need the presence of the Lord in us. We need his Holy Spirit to give us power so that we can do what it takes, endure what we have to endure, overcome what we have to overcome, so that we could be transformed and he could be glorified. So let me pray, and then they'll play, and while they do that, you guys pass it out. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, Lord, and I thank you for all the things that you're doing in the lives of people here, people in our community, people in our churches, friends, the other churches around us that we pray for, that we love, that we're brothers and sisters with, God, in your church throughout the world. And there I go, using too many words again. So we just, you are the center of the universe, God. You are the Lord of all the governors, the Lord of all the presidents and the kings and the senators and the parliament and mayors and all the powers of this world, God. And you have conquered sin, and you've conquered death, and you're more powerful than any evil spirit, than Satan himself, than all those bent on our destruction. And you've invited us into your home, into your family, and that you would make a home with us in our heart. So, Lord, I kneel before you and I confess our sins, that we have made so many things God. We have made so many things the center of our universe and our world, when it should have been about more of you and less of me. And so, Lord, whatever storms we face now, help us not to panic. Help us not to run to counterfeit solutions. Help us not to close our eyes and scream that you would just send power from on high, but that we would want you and nothing short of you and your presence in our life and your power that could help us do anything you ask us to do, that could help us endure anything they throw at us, that could help us overcome. And then when we die, and when this is all over, the power that will resurrect us from the dead to be with you. And so, Lord, we're going to pass out bread and juice, and be with us in this time as we pray and we remember what you did for me, for them, and that we would drink from this cup and eat this bread together, united with you, our Lord, until we come together again in that heavenly place and eat a meal together. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Help us to never forget, Lord Jesus, that that night in that upper room, you did this with the disciples, and you had prayed, and after you blessed it, you wanted us to remember your, not only would you walk on water for us, but that this bread symbolizes your body, which you would let be broken for us, that this life that you'd give up to save us. And any time that we break this bread and that we eat it, we would remember you. So we eat the bread. And that, this cup of juice here that represents your blood, which atones for our sins, which covers us, which saves us. And that whenever we would drink together, that we would remember you and your perfect love for us. And we drink it. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you for your love and your sacrifice. Thank you for walking on water for me. Make more and more alive your spirit in me. Make more and more visible where you're at and what you're doing, that I could be in proximity to you. Amen.
With you. fire or anything that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you and less of me. I want more of you and less of me.
Amen. Let's stand up, you guys. Praise the Lord for his amazing grace this morning. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of glory is. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves the speckless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. All that you've done for me. Amen.
So anyone who would like to stay, if you would stay, I want to pray for our nation. So anyone who would like to come to the front, anyone who's not interested, let's pray for our nation as we go into the polls. That we pray for our leaders, that even if they don't intend to do God's work, that he would make himself known to them and accomplish his goals. So if you're interested in doing that as a congregation, please stay. We'll come to the middle and we'll pray together. Okay?
No signal. I don't know what happened. Should I change my battery?
I don't know. You got what I was trying to say, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think to do was grab this mic. No, we didn't. I could tell he's trying to get some sound.
You want a service? Hey, Jim.
All right.
You want to serve my wife?
There's no limit to your love. You make me.